Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Once again, we're so glad to be with you as we start off this new year, and we can start off the new year in victory with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he gives us the victory, and we have it through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have the power of Christ, and he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he says that he is in us, and greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And what a wonderful thought it is. And so we can rejoice. And the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice because this is the day the Lord hath made, and he has given us eternal salvation. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise, under no circumstance cast out. But one of the greatest things is he has given us his living word. And we want to talk about that today. And the Bible says that cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. But then it says, in thy word do I trust. And so we are told to trust in his word. But if we trust in the Bible correctors or the people that attack it, then we'll have a curse on us, and we'll be in blindness and darkness like they are. But the question then comes up, well, where is the Word of God? And that's what our program is all about. And I thank God today Brother Al Davis is here with me, and we're going to read some scripture verses in the Authorized King James Bible, which is really the King Jesus Bible, that is the very words of God. And it talks about where the words of God are and what the Bible says about the words of God. And so I'm going to ask Brother Al to read now the scripture verses.
All right, thank you, Bruce. And again, welcome to the program. And a reminder that you can find us online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can learn more about Bruce Musselman there and listen to past programs at whereisgodsword.com. We're in Hebrews chapter 4 today. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse number 9, the Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Now, the verse that he started to read was in verse 11, I believe, and it says, let us therefore enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, a number of things about this is that the Bible says, when great peace have they that love thy law, and that's the word of God. Now, we're talking about the word of God. The true word of God will give you peace. And if you're frustrated and you're upset and you're thinking about all the problems you got, start reading the Word of God. That's the simple answer for your problems. And rest means peace, the same as you just feel satisfied. You feel happy. You feel confident. You feel happy in life and so on. Let us therefore enter into his rest. You're resting in God because of his words. Because Jesus said those words are spirit in their life. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So you start off by reading the Word of God. Your gut gets rest. But the Word of God gives you faith. Now somebody says, well, I don't have much faith. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So once again, If you will read the Word of God, you will have faith. And all of these things are true of the Authorized Bible, and that we're talking about the King Jesus Bible, which is another name for the King James Bible. For the Word of God, now we see something else about it. It is quickened. Quick, it says that God quickens us, meaning He makes us alive. It is a living thing. And something that is alive, one of the evidences of it is that it can reproduce itself. And so the Word of God can reproduce itself, and it's been attacked for the last 100 years and probably even before that. But the true Word of God has an ability to reproduce itself. And so no matter who attacks it, it just continues to grow and grow. And I believe the last count, there is nearly 5 billion copies of it all over the world in our time. And so it just goes on and on and on. Somebody said one time, A.T. Robertson said one time, the Textus Receptus is dead, and he didn't want to say the King James. I suppose he was chicken to say it. But at that time, just when he said it, Billy Sunday had gone to New York City and had over 120,000 converts preaching out of the Word of God, the King James Bible. And so it says it is a living thing. A living thing can reproduce itself. And so it just goes on and on. Despite all the attacks, it grows and grows and grows and gets more widespread all the time. Now, the second thing it says, it is powerful. Now, the true Word of God, again, is pointing to the Authorized King James Bible, because every revival that has taken place in the English-speaking world and in the other parts of the world based on translations from this comes through the received text of the King James Bible. And so it is powerful. We know that they were using another translation, a lot of the Puritans and so on, but some of them were using the King James. But Whitfield came over to the United States, and he started in Georgia, and he preached his way up the coast, and everywhere he went, thousands and thousands of people turned out, and there were thousands and thousands of converts made. He was an Episcopal priest, but he said that we were to only go by what the Word of God said, that this was our only authority, and he emphasized that so strongly. So many of his converts became Baptists, and actually Whitfield, although he was Episcopal, made the Baptist movement in America, and many of those people that were converted through him became Baptist preachers, and they preached all over America and had tremendous revivals all over America. So the Word of God is powerful, and it points to the King James Bible. And then it says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, one of the things about the modern translations, they're like a butter knife. They've lost their sharpness. And a lot of them, for instance, they don't want to translate the word Hades, but the King James is sharp, and it says hell. It doesn't say Hades, and I believe the New King James just says Hades or something, and they refuse to, so many of them refuse to translate the word, but the King James says hell. It is sharp, and all the words, and it speaks to us. I remember when I was in college where they said, well, King James was good for its day. That was 50 years ago, but they said many evangelical leaders recommend the New American Standard Version. So I thought I was going to use it, and I started using it, but it just couldn't keep my interest. And then I read the King James, and there was something about it that just it kept my interest. It was powerful. And so I finally, although I was going to use the New American Standard, I laid it down, and I picked up the King James and been using it ever since. And we also should call that New American Standard, just like they call it the King James Bible. They call it King James. We ought to call it the Carlos Martini, Archbishop Carlos Martini Bible, because he put the Greek text underneath it together, under it. So we could call it the Martini Bible, the New American Standard. But that's gone out. But the Word of God lives. Now, another thing about the fact that it is quickener, he is alive, is the fact that it lives and it continues to reproduce itself. But every other translation is, I just remember the big ones when I was in college, practically disappeared. They're only in the history books. And people aren't using them. And about 200 translations have come out. And they've hung around for a little while. When the advertising stopped, they disappeared. And we can almost predict that that'll happen with any other translation, because it is not the living Word of God. And it says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it speaks to our conscience. It is powerful. It speaks to us. And people come to church sometimes and they say, people from the church, they bring a visitor to church, and the visitor says, did you tell them all about me? Well, the preacher is just preaching the Word of God, and he thinks that somebody's told them all about him, because the Word of God talks about the thoughts of their hearts and their minds, what they're really thinking. It is that powerful. So it divides asunder of the soul and spirit. It just separates the soulish part of man and the spiritual part of man, and of the joints and marrows. It gets right down inside a person. I remember one time there's a story told where a man was on a train in France, and he was sitting next to the guy, and he says, well, I don't believe in God. And the Christian said, well, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the person couldn't get that out of their mind. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And eventually he was so disturbed and bothered by that, he came around to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so the true Word is powerful to speak to the hearts and the soul of man. And then it says he is a discerner of the thoughts and so and intents of the heart. So he knows what people are thinking. The true Word of God talks about their heart, about their soul. You know, when I preach at churches, I usually take a chapter that interests me, and then I outline the chapter, and then I preach that chapter, and I notice how it speaks to people's hearts. I thought if I had to make up sermons on my own, I could never do it, but I just use the scripture, and it is always speaking to people's hearts where they're at, because it discerns it. It tells them what they're thinking, and it tells them about the real problems that they have in their heart and their life, because God, this is the words of God that he has given to us. Then it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. So the Word of God is a living being. It's Jesus Christ. He is called the Word of God. And it says he sees what goes on in the hearts of people, and he speaks to them through his words. But all things are naked and open into the eyes of him whom we have to do. And I can see so many times if I've been bothered by something and I just get that Bible open and it just speaks to me about the problems and about the thoughts that I have, and gives me comfort and gives me peace and gives me assurance and gives me hope, because in this book, it is the source of eternal life. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. They're living spirits of God. You know, you put seed in the ground, and that seed comes up and turns into a plant. And so Jesus calls it the seed of the Word of God. And he says the sower goes out and sows it. But then sometimes the enemy comes and takes away that seed from the hearts of people. But it is the living seed of God. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Now, who is this high priest? Well, it's the Word of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when you receive his word, sometimes it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have everlasting life by listening to the word of Jesus Christ and receiving it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that is, what does his word say? His words say that he died for our sins in our place, that he rose from the dead, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you believe those words, and you accept those words, and you have eternal life by receiving those words into your soul, that Jesus died for you and he rose from the dead, and that when you come to him, you have eternal life. Then it goes on to say about the Word of God. It says that seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Right here it says here, the word of God, he is a great high priest, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the high priest once a year took the blood of a goat, and he took it into the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem once a year, and he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And the sins of Israel were forgiven for 1 year. But when Jesus took his blood into heaven, he took that blood into heaven, and the blood is there in the Holy of Holies in heaven as a payment for our sin. And so we can rejoice in that, and we know that through the Word of God. So it says, let us hold fast our profession. If we profess to have faith in him, then let us take a stand. Let people know that we believe in him. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So Jesus is touched with all the problems that we have. For he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, our high priest is God, and yet God took on a human body. God did the miracles, and God raised the dead, opened the blind eyes when he was here. Jesus did. God died on the cross, and God physically, his soul remained alive, but his body physically died, and he was put in the tomb, and he came out of the tomb the third day, going through every experience that we would experience. And so he knows us, and we come to him. But in his words, he comforts us, and he speaks to us in his words, because he has been touched with our feeling of our troubles, our infirmities, because he was tempted in the same way. If people reject us, they rejected him. If they even spit on us, they spit on him. So it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can come boldly in prayer to God, because when we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior and repented of our sins, willing to turn from our sin and receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, that at that moment he becomes our Savior. And we can then pray to him, and we can come boldly to God the Father and ask for help, and we will get help. And then we can read the Bible, which is his living words, and he will help us in our soul and in our spirit through the Word of God, which he has given to us. And therefore, we can be victorious as Christians, so we can come boldly, that we may find grace and help in time of need. You know, when it says you're saved by grace, you know, some people believe that their good works will get them to heaven. God says our good works are as filthy rags in his sight. We don't measure up, but Jesus lived a perfect life. And when we come to him, and Jesus said he came to save sinners. In heaven, there's only going to be saved sinners. They're not going to be self-righteous people in heaven. They'll never make it. But he came to save sinners. But the saved sinners, the person that admits that they have sinned against God and come to Jesus for salvation, they have eternal life, and they have the grace of God with them. That is, grace means a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they have the peace of God. They have the joy of God. They have the forgiveness of sins. They have the knowledge that when they die, they will be with Christ. And when we have passed out of this life, immediately we'll be in the presence of the Lord. See, God is just getting together a great forever family that we will be with him. And we will enjoy him forever and forever. So we have this high priest. That's Jesus, who actually is there to pray for us. And the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. And the transgression of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Because Jesus was beaten in our place, he died on the cross for us. Therefore, we can come and we can be his child, and we can rejoice in that. And I thank God for that. And we can praise him from now on. And he is coming back to this earth to be with us. Now, the Bible says this. It says, in thy word do I trust. And it says in the Bible, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's not lost in some old cave somewhere or a crocodile's belly somewhere that we don't have it. It doesn't come from the post photographs that many of the modern translations come from. No, it comes through the Bible-believing churches all down through the ages that have kept the true words of God. And, you know, we have them today, and you can go to them. And all over this city and all over this state, there's hundreds of churches that have the King James and believe it is the perfect law, word of God. You know, the Bible says this, in thy word do I trust. And then it says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It doesn't matter what some person, what scribes and Pharisees say today to try to correct or attack it. You know, in Jesus' day, the Bible says they delivered him because of envy. And when he did his miracles and all that, they rejected Jesus in his day, and they tried to find fault with him today. And even today, you will find people today that try to find fault with the living word of the living God in the King James Bible that has come down to us from the time of the apostles and was translated in 1611. You say, well, I heard some well-known preacher and he corrected it. Yes, Adam and Eve walked with God and they changed it. They changed God's word. Peter, he made this great confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus had to say to him, get behind me, Satan. And so he said the false thing. And so people that actually knew the Lord and were with him, sometimes they would say something false. Why? Satan would get into their thinking. I'm telling you today, when somebody corrects the King James, they say, this is a unfortunate translation. This is a better reading is. And they say that they're motivated by Satan. Satan puts this into their heart. The first thing the devil says when he speaks is, yea, hath God said. He questions the word of God. But the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this day forward and forever. And Jesus said in three of the Gospels, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And he tells the people in the Old Testament that he's going to speak to the nations, not only in Hebrew and Greek, but within their language, he's going to speak to them. And so we have his words today, and we can trust in his words. And if you don't trust in his words, you'll get a curse on you, and you'll start to lose your faith, and you'll get messed up. But in thy word do I trust. And the Bible says, blessed is everyone that puts their faith in him. And you put your faith in Jesus through his words. You trust in his words, and you will get a blessing. And you will have the joy of the Lord, and you will have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And you will have hope of eternal life and assurance of salvation, because you have put your faith and trust in the eternal word of God. Well, it's so glad that we can be with you today. And I hope that God will give you a wonderful new year, and you can go with Jesus. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's with us in his words that we have in the authorized King James Bible, which is his words, in which he comforts us, he gives us peace, he gives us joy, he gives us hope. And I can say this out of my personal experience, and millions can say that out of their personal experience, when they have a King Jesus Bible. They call it a King James Bible, but it's a King Jesus Bible. It's God's words we have today. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.